Hello, this is Lafayette Faust, creator of the Nevermore Hollows podcast. Thank you for making the show a success. Please take a moment to subscribe, give 5 stars, comment, and share the show with your friends. It's the best way to help us grow and to be able to continue to provide quality horror content. Also, please support our new art director, Chris Madman Goins at Black Sheep Studios TN on Instagram. He has some amazing Nevermore Hollows art for sale, signed by the both of us, as well as many other original pieces I think you're gonna love. Now, for you horror hounds who like to have a good laugh, I invite you to check out my other podcast. It's called The Three Uncool Cats. In it, my two friends and I sit in a basement and discuss music, movies, and whatever else comes into our warped minds. I would really appreciate it if you would give it a listen. Now, with that out of the way, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. The Grim Tale of Grace McCobb, Chapter 38. Grace stood so that she could see the costumed partiers as they entered the club. Devon had turned on the multicolored stage and dance floor lighting, casting the huge room in a surreal kaleidoscopic glow. He had also flicked on the fog machines hidden around the room, and the floor was now covered in swirling mist that writhed with color. Lily was standing at the door stamping the partiers' hands as they entered. Grace saw half a dozen devils, an impish Frankenstein, 2 young men dressed as Freddy Krueger, and too many vampires to count. However, what Grace found most interesting were all the young women who were dressed in Halloween versions of stripper costumes. Why does the modern definition of a liberated woman seem to rely heavily on nakedness and promiscuity? She thought. Everyone wore a mask, even those scantily clad in stripper costumes. If their costume did not require a specific mask, they wore Venetian masks with festive feathers and ribbons. A girl walked in dressed as a zombie. Her makeup was so grotesque that Grace was reminded of the vision of her own rotting corpse in the mirror. She couldn't shake the feeling that she was missing something huge. And for the briefest moment, she felt anxious and out of sorts. What's going on? She thought. And what does that strange word, second setlick, mean? Just then, Devon slid on a set of headphones that contained a microphone with which he could hear the music and communicate with the partiers. Happy Halloween! It's time to get this party started! Over 100 people had made it into the club, with a couple dozen more still lined up waiting for the stamping of their hands. The patrons already inside yelled a great chorus in response that they were in fact ready to party. With that affirmation, Devon began blasting the first song of the night. It was loud, and the partiers began to group up on the dance floor. Grace had always wanted to dance in a club with friends. In the movies, it seemed to be great fun and an act of liberation. As the partiers began to grind and gyrate against each other in their freakish costumes, she realized that there was nothing fun or liberating about what she was witnessing. This spectacle seemed instead somehow confining, though she couldn't quite understand how. It seemed debasing instead of uplifting. A twinge of shame began to grow inside of her. Evan and Lucinda were behind the bar, making drinks as fast as they could in their attempt to keep the revelers happy. However, as more costumed patrons streamed in, most headed straight for the bar. Evan snatched the money that was shoved at them while Lucinda poured a never-ending stream of liquor. Second Setlick, Grace thought. Such a strange word. What does it mean? Ari leaned in close and said, "Everything okay?" Grace involuntarily shivered with delight as his lips brushed against her ear. The feel of his warm breath, mixed with the melodious vibrations of his voice, snatched her from her pontification and put her firmly in the moment. The visions, the strange occurrences, that incomprehensible word evaporated from her mind. All that remained was the need for Ari to speak into her ear again. She had never felt anything so enticing, so intimate and charged with such urgency. The tingling down her spine was the most intense thing she had ever felt. It was even more desirable than that wonderful kiss that they had shared in the field. "I'm okay," she replied, having to slightly raise her voice over the pounding beat of the music. It wasn't as loud in the VIP room because of the window that separated them from the main floor, but the bass was booming and vibrating the walls. Ari looked as if he didn't quite believe her. He leaned in again, though not close enough for his breath to caress her ear. "It's just started," he said. "In about 30 minutes, most of them will be drunk or close to it, and that's when things are going to get really strange." "So far," she replied, "I don't see where all this is going." Ari considered her unspoken question of what she was supposed to be looking for. "We're not like these people, Grace. That mass of insecurity and self-loathing down there is a testament to the imperfection of humanity. It goes back to the lesson in the field." "Free will," Grace said. "We each have a choice. That choice is powerful." Ari gave her an appreciative smile. "Yes, it is. Those people get up every day, scared or anxious. They know what they want out of life, but instead of doing it, trying to obtain it, they choose to put on a culture-approved costume of some sort, whether it is a suit and tie or a uniform. They do it with the hope of fitting in, and they don't. So it all builds up to a need for a release from all that angst and anxiety." "They've wasted their free will," Grace said. "Right?" "Yes," Ari said, his smile wide, his eyes gleaming with pride at her understanding. "So they end up here, hiding behind a different kind of mask. Tonight, they think they are safe wearing these costumes. But with a little alcohol, we get to see who they really are." Grace glanced back down onto the dance floor. Already, some of the partiers were feeling the effects of their drinking. They were getting louder, grinding more openly, presenting themselves in a way that Grace found trashy. "Most of them drink to numb the pain that eats away at them," Ari said. "There are a few who just love the whole lifestyle of unaccountability and hedonism, though." "So why would you want to watch something like this?" Grace asked. She hoped that he would lean in close and speak into her ear again. "Well, they need a place to feel free, Grace, and we offer a way for them to release all that tension. We make a lot of money doing this, Grace. Even in this small town, we have become wealthy. It's capitalism in action. This idea struck Grace as a gross interpretation of capitalism. Her mother was a business owner. Aunt Jessica was a self-employed attorney, and Jim was a writer. They each made a good living, but not at the expense of their patrons' humanity. They offered valuable services that benefited their community. Her mom had often explained that, as a true capitalist, she wanted everyone in the world to be well-educated and affluent so that they could afford the services that she provided. If your potential customers are all uneducated and poor, you can't sell to them. Her family's definition of capitalism rang true where Ari's did not. She felt conflicted, but just for only a moment, because Ari leaned in and spoke again into her ear. If we weren't providing this club for them to party in, they'd be doing this in someone's home or yard, causing damage and possibly ending up getting arrested, or worse. We provide a safe place for them to let their fears and frustrations melt away, if only for a few hours. Then, he took her chin in his hand and lifted her face to his. She was tingling with hot delight from his breath on her ear. He leaned in and kissed her. And as he did, he cupped her face in his hands, running his fingers up through her hair. Within the span of one yearning heartbeat, she forgot her concerns about his definition of capitalism.